am Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Well, yes, the rumors are true.
What's that?
We're on vacation this week.
Yes, we are. We're recharging ourselves, getting ourselves ready for a very busy next few months because, you know, we're heading down the stretch towards the 2024 election, and anything could happen.
Anything could happen. And trust me, anything will happen.
That's true. That's
so
true.
But, you know, while we're gone, we didn't want to leave you high and dry, so we dusted off a great show for you. It's one that is a timeless classic, so we think you're going to enjoy it.
Yep. Here's a best of our show. Hope you enjoy it. Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Glad to have you here today, sir. Boy, easy for me to say. My mouth is not...
No,
my eyes
okay.
are ahead of my mouth today.
That's okay. It's one of those days, I think. Hey, I don't understand this next story. I'll tell you why, Bill. They have some new footage, which was just released yesterday. It was released from the House Oversight Committee, and it's of Nancy Pelosi taking responsibility for January 6th. This is while the protest. She's in a car, and I guess the protests are actually happening. And she sounds a little nervous, but well, let me just run the audio.
Sure.
They say they got stuff, but they can't tell us what it is. It's too prepared. They want the other side to know. We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff that should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
No, there's not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more, because it's stupid that we should be in a situation like this.
I'm going to play that last part one more time.
I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more.
Now, she says, I take responsibility for them not having prepared for the worst. You know?
Well, we know he made the call for National Guard.
10 to 20,000 is what he said.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to point out something there because we know, look, she's got false teeth. You know that. So she sometimes spits them out. But there's a little more going on with that conversation than meets the eye because she's a little tipsy there because the way she's talking there, sort of her words, it's not just the teeth coming out.
She was nervous. I think
she's nervous, but she was a little tipsy. But she was, when your guard is down like that, you know, you don't realize. As one person used to tell me, they used to like to take you out for a drink or something like that. If they thought they had something on you, to loosen you up a little bit and have a few drinks, because the old saying that alcohol is truth serum, it really is, because people let their guard down. She drinks, and she probably, you know, she was nervous, and she probably had a confessional moment there with someone that she trusted.
Well, I think it was her chief of staff, and I believe her daughter was in the car. But here's what I don't understand, okay? This was released Monday, yesterday, from the House Oversight Committee. Where the hell was this tape 2 years ago? Why isn't it that we didn't see this tape 2 or 2.5 years ago? I have to be honest with you, Bill. I'm a little pissed. I'm pissed that there's a lot of young people, there's a lot of older people who are sitting in cells right now, and this tape wasn't shown to anybody until yesterday?
Well, don't you think the January 6th hearings were a big cover-up? And point the finger at Trump, because number one, they never liked Trump. They wanted to get him from the get-go. They didn't. He surprised them and won, you know, and beat Hillary, and that wasn't supposed to. That wasn't part of the plan.
My next question, Bill, is this: is she going to go to jail for this?
No.
What? Wait. Why?
Because the machine, look, you've got, let's just start from the bottom up. You've got workers in D.C. that aren't elected, that have been appointed, that are mostly Democrat. You've got still a lot of Democrats in power. You have the media on their side. If you know, they want to sit there, you listen to all the ads out there, the Republicans have so much money, they're blah, 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 they're billionaire donors. I have not seen one single ad for Trump.
You know, it's funny, you know, you talk about the media being on her side. As soon as that tape was released, she ran to MSNBC and said this.
Of course she did.
Listen.
The fact is that the president of the United States, the former president, and his toadies do not want to face the facts. They're trying to do revisionist history on January 6th. But we cannot let us be dragged into their, again, false impression of what happened that day. They know what happened that day.
Wait a second. Wait.
Yeah,
wait,
we do know what happened that day, Nancy, and you're lying through your teeth right now.
Didn't she say this?
I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for war.
That was Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. I take responsibility for them not having prepared for the worst. I mean, how do you get a... Now, Bill, this goes to the Hunter Biden case. All of the evidence is against the guy. They got videotape of him naked, snorting cocaine. They got witnesses saying he had the gun. Witnesses
golf
saying...
ball style crack.
Yeah.
That he was smoking. Bill, yeah, I know.
They had all this stuff. You know he's going to get off.
Well, you know, they didn't even put up a defense. And that told me that, I said, that stinks right there because everything is against Hunter. And it's obvious he's dirty. He bought the gun and the next day he's making a coke deal. All right. So, you know, his attorney going, well, there was no proof that he was on coke at the time. Oh, no. That's why he made a deal the next day. He was off coke the day that he bought it. But the next day he had a relapse. Bull crap.
Hey,
and
you know, she's blaming Trump and his toadies. She called his supporters toadies. Okay, this is Nancy Pelosi. This is how despicable she thinks we are. You know.
Well, here's what I think of her supporters: they're dipsticks.
Well,
you know, I mean, I could have said something else.
Yeah, I think that she is a. I think she is a criminal. I mean, she admits on videotape that she is responsible for not having protected the Capitol, that the entire insurrection was caused by, as a result of her failure to perform her duties and protect the Capitol as Speaker of the House. And yet there are people who are in prison now who never would have breached the Capitol had there been National Guard surrounding the Capitol and protecting the Capitol. You know, if she had done her job, all the people who are locked up, the January Sixers, by the way, most of them with no trials, I mean, they wouldn't be there right now. You know, and these are people who were veterans. By the way, Ashley Babbitt would be alive today. Ashley Babbitt, the young woman, 14-year Air Force veteran, a young lady that everybody who knew her said was a stellar person, a great citizen, a patriot. Everybody who knew her said she was a good person. She'd be alive today with her family, her husband. If this political clown had done her job, if it were a Republican in her shoes, he'd be in jail now and had been in jail for a while. She should go to jail. I'm sorry. She belongs in prison for doing this.
Well, Democrats walk together lockstep. It doesn't matter what the message is. They're like they say, they're everybody's voice. Even if they don't agree, they walk together with their voice. What she is doing here, this is a case where she is guilty. And she was guilty back then, but she decided that, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to blame it on Trump. At some point in time, not only is the lie believed by the people that she tells it to, she believes her own lie. Today, she probably believes her own lie.
You know, you're absolutely correct. 100% on the money. When you listen to her on MSNBC, the 2 years that have gone, 2.5 years that have gone by, she has convinced herself that her lie is the truth. You're absolutely correct. She calls us toadies and she says, everybody knows what happened. No, no. Everybody has been convinced of the lie that you created. You know, the fact of the matter is nobody else was sitting. That was your voice in that car. By the way, it's video, Bill. You can see.
Oh, no, yeah.
You can see her.
You're not going to see it. It's only on Gateway. They're trying to suppress Gateway. And it might be on Breitbart, but Breitbart I sometimes question anymore because they're getting to a lot of the media. Money changes everything. And you're not going to see it on MSNBC. You're not going to see it on CBS. You're not going to see it on CNN and every other news source out there. They're not going to run it, even though there it is. Boom. But you know, they're not going to run
it. We should grab that clip and we should put it on our website so people can see it, you know, and people should have a place to go to. By the way, thank you for tuning in. Our numbers are really growing every single day, so thank you very much. That's a little aside, but I figured I'd make that point. People only listen to the show in bits and pieces, and our show right now is in the top 1% of all podcasts in the world. So
here's what we should do: is take the audio clip, take the video clip. And we do truth bombs on our website, you know, so it distributes out there for everyone to see. We could sit there and talk about that one thing, just like what we just did, and play it so it's out there so it distributes everywhere. That would be the thing to do, the truth bomb. Just take it and bomb it, you know.
Well,
and
maybe I'd like to bring them to our website, but, you know, because I think there's a lot of people who don't even know our website exists. And,
well, that's what I'm saying. If it's on our website as a truth bomb, a little short bite.
Okay, I misunderstood what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's a one-story thing. We take these stories, you know, I'm thinking out loud for the audience, too. They can chime in and say, yeah, I'd like a truth bomb. And we can take the big stories like that and say, here it is, folks. Here's what we're thinking. Why don't you be the judge? And then we come back and cap it up. Truth bomb.
I'd love to know what the audience think. Is the audience as angry, or do they think they understand yet what happened yesterday? I don't think they going to your point about them trying to suppress the story. I agree. The media is trying to hush it up, but it's sites like ours, it's shows like ours, and maybe Joe Rogan's show or Dan Bongino's show, or those are the shows that can air this audio and spread the word, so to speak. You know.
Well, I think there's an awakening going on. It happened in the EU with their elections. And they have been really trying desperately to say, those MAGA people, you know, the MAGA is being identified as Nazis. And I know there was a lady in Maine, a Republican, that was going like, she was trying to call attention to, you know, gathering, whether you gather for a rally in support of a cause, mm-hmm. It's not illegal to do that. Even if you're a gun-toting citizen, it's not illegal to do that. And so she was doing the Nazi comparison. They're going, she's confused about Nazis, blah, blah, blah. I'm like going, no, you're confused about being a journalist and reporting things in the real context. I probably wouldn't have used the Nazi comparison, but here nor there, her intent was right, and it is right what her analogy was.
Well, the people on the left are the ones who were always throwing that word around, Bill, Nazi. Nazi. Well, everybody on the right, as far as the left is concerned, is a Nazi. If you are a MAGA member, they equate you to being a Nazi. And they don't understand what the word means.
Yeah, and they equate them to being dumb country bumpkins, because if you're on the left, you're sophisticated. You have an education, you know, we're above that. We're civilized people. Bull crap. Now, what you don't realize, these quote-unquote bumpkins, you know, they may not have gone to Harvard or to major universities, but if you didn't have them, you wouldn't have food on your table. You wouldn't have tires on your damn car. You wouldn't have this. You wouldn't have that. And they are getting pissed because they might be simple everyday folk that you like to degrade and talk down to,
yeah.
But they know they have skills
Hey,
you don't have
Bill. They're also the ones that know how to use a weapon. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, they're afraid of
it. Is it a smart move to be poking the element in your society that knows how to use a rifle? You know.
Yeah, you know, I told you about that. That you know, just down home country folk guy I ran into in the store,
right.
And I never brought up the conversation.
Right.
And he sat there. The last words out of his mouth, he goes, "If they're not careful, they're going to have a civil war."
Well,
so in other words,
that's true. And, you know, be careful for what you wish for, folks. If you're on the left and you think that'd be a great idea, how many of you guys even have weapons? You know, but yet if you talk to the people out in the country who have the trucks and, you know, work the blue collar jobs, many of them like to go hunting and have their rifles, and they've been shooting a weapon of some kind and also a lot of them are veterans. A lot of them have been in the service and know how to act as a military unit, you know.
Well, you know,
Glad. All I was going to say was the people on the left, yes, they have the great educations. Yes, they've gone to the universities. Yes, they can tell you so much about so many different things. But the matter of fact when it comes to politics is they have been indoctrinated. They have been steered towards a certain belief by their education. If you go to a UMass, if you go to a Penn State, if you go to UConn, you go to all these good state schools, yeah, you can get a great education, superb education. But, you know, a lot of the professors, I think I read a figure, Bill, 94% of most of the college professors were lefties. They just have an agenda. Even if the agenda isn't overt, isn't obvious, they have an agenda. Then they can, even by their casual conversation, they can push you in a direction if you're a young mind of mush, as Rush used to say, you know?
Well, they're linguists, and they use linguistics. What is that? It's a word game. It's a word play. Now, if you, like, I was watching a movie yesterday, and every 5 minutes commercials came on, and during that set, I saw the same Democratic commercial all the way through talking about, but they use words in a broad sense, and they know that the average person probably doesn't know how to break it down. You know, they're talking about the Supreme Court, and they're taking away your reproductive rights. Reproductive rights. Now, wait a minute. Reproductive is the operative phrase there, and rights. What is that umbrella? Well, an umbrella is a lot of things. That you have the rights to all of that, but it's the one word abortion in there. You know, they talk about it means that you have the contraceptive rights, you have this and this and this and this. Now, the abortion thing, they're trying to make one word the divisive thing, but they shield it.
And what they don't tell you is that, yes, a year after Roe versus Wade was removed, unfortunately, more abortions than ever before in our country.
Yeah.
Nothing, and, you know, nothing has been stopped. Nothing.
And these are medical abortions. And if they gave you the statistics, and I don't have them in front of me, but they're pretty high, of medical problems, health issues, and, you know, critical health issues after the abortion, is pretty damn high. You know, it's one of those numbers. It would be like a COVID situation, you know, that it's an epidemic. So they're lying through their teeth.
Well, we have a situation now where, and I don't know what the heck's going to happen. Is it just going to fade away? Is Nancy Pelosi just going to get off with this? She acknowledges on that audio it was her fault, that she should have called in the National Guard. Yet she made up a story and lied about it for 2.5 years. All of her cohorts in Congress on the left, they dutifully followed along, supporting her, echoing the same story. The fact of the matter is, she was lying. But I still want to know, Bill, I still want to know why we're just getting this tape now. We've had Congress for, what, a year and a half? We've been the majority in Congress for, well, maybe it's been longer, but we've had the majority of Congress for 2.5 years. Why is it that we're just yesterday getting that tape?
because somebody was sitting on the tape. So somebody in that car either mishandled it or got mad at Pelosi and let it something happened somewhere, because I don't think it was there. Did you know that tape existed until?
No.
And I don't think anybody did on the right. You know, so somebody somewhere.
It was apparently in the hands of the House Oversight Committee.
Yes, but, you know, they probably have a lot of stuff there. I'll just say, in their defense, trying to probably sift through everything, there's probably a treasure trove of stuff that they won't be able to get to in their 2-year term, let alone the next term. There's probably stuff.
If you were the Speaker of the House, if I were the Speaker of the House and I had all this stuff, I would have taken about 15 interns, and their entire job would have been to go through every bit of evidence concerning January 6th. Through the videotape. I mean, they should have been doing this 2 years ago.
Why was there, and this is just a question that would only Pelosi could answer it. Why would you have a conversation like that where you're saying, yeah, it's my fault, I take responsibility? If I were going to say something like that, it wouldn't be on a recorded tape, to my knowledge, or a videotape.
Well,
just saying.
Well, these people have got enormous egos. They really do. If I've learned anything from watching these do-nothings in Congress, and most of them do nothing, both sides, they huff and they puff, but they don't do a damn thing. I mean, I got a piece of audio I'm going to play in a little while where Maria Bartiromo kind of shoves back at James Comey. I get it wrong. You know, Comey.
Yeah,
the guy who's the congressman. James Comer, right. Comey. They all start to run into each other, and it gets very confusing. But the fact of the matter is, these guys have been, it's James Comey, he's been huffing and puffing and talking about all he's going to do, and all he's going to talk to this body, talk to this person, and they're going to have this person testify, and all this is well and good, but nothing ever happens. We sit there like a bunch of dumb lemons, you know, just, are they testifying today? Oh, did you hear that? Boy, something's going to happen. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. And and I don't know about other people listening, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of... Now, this Nancy Pelosi tape, they shouldn't discuss. They should go down and they should at least detain her. At least detain her. Maybe they shouldn't arrest her, but they should bring her in for questioning. Because she broke the law.
Yeah, and there should be a hearing on it and a trial on it, and she needs to answer for it. And the fact that she admitted it, that's the case right there. There should be some punishment of some sort for it. And that brings in the question, the whole sham of the trial, everything that went on.
But, you know, because of her, Peter Navarro's in jail right now.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Navarro is in jail directly as a result of her activity, okay? If she had called in the National Guard, there wouldn't have been any reason to, for Peter Navarro to try to get executive privilege because he was working for the president. You know, he wouldn't have had to have done that. What's his name? Steve Bannon, who's going to jail, next month?
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be going to jail if she had done her job honestly. But yet, is it okay for the left to stay out of jail? Do we just slap these people on the left on their wrist gently because they were bad boys and girls? Or do they suffer the same consequences that the right suffers? You know, seriously, I don't understand this anymore. I don't understand in our society where justice is supposed to... She wears a handkerchief around her eyes. Justice is supposed to be blind, you know? But yet in this society, if you're a Democrat, you like Eric Holder or Hillary Clinton, you get off. You get off with a giggle and a slap on the wrist.
Well, it is blind, blind towards the Democrats. That's what it is. I mean, so they cast everything on the Republicans. That's what they want to do. They want to cast it, and I don't even like to say Republicans. They want to cast it on, they view an opponent as an enemy. So Trump is an enemy of them, you know, because it's not about what the people want. It's about what's good for Nancy. It's about what's good for AOC, what's good for Biden. Who cares about, who gives a damn about the American populace? They don't.
Yeah, they are. They're out for themselves. I came across this little factoid this morning. Actually, it said that going into office, the vice presidency, Kamala Harris was worth $3 million. As of today, she's worth $16 million. And the job pays like $250,000 a year. Say what?
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? You know?
I don't know.
By the way, it's James Comer. I get my Comers and Comey mixed up. My apologies.
Yeah.
It's easy to do at this hour of the morning. Comey was the former FBI director. Comer is the congressman. Okay, I got it. I wanted to play this tape. Maria Bartiromo talks with Congressman Comer, and she's talking about justice, and she's talking about results. Listen.
Referrals for Hunter Biden and James Biden over perjury, for lying to Congress. Where are the criminal referrals if that's all true? Where are the criminal referrals for FARA, for money laundering, for corruption, for influence peddling? Where are those?
Yeah. Well, we're just beginning, Maria, and a lot of those crimes that the Bidens have committed, the statute of limitations has run out. That was one of the complaints that the IRS whistleblower said when we had him testify in our committee. But we're going to deal with those, and we're going to deal with Joe Biden. Remember, this is an investigation of Joe Biden. Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, Eric Sherwin, Devin Archer, these are all witnesses in an investigation of Joe Biden. This was always about Joe Biden.
Wait a second. Mm-hmm. Pull over to the side of the road. It's a longer audio clip, but you know, I don't want to hear that anymore. First of all, Bill, honest to God, they say this is an investigation of Joe Biden. Joe Biden is starting to drool on himself big time, okay? Mm-hmm. And even if, let's say, in 3 or 4 months, this committee says, okay, we got enough to go after Joe Biden, do you think we're going to put away into prison a drooling, bumbling, incoherent man who's 81 years old? No way. We are letting in strangers on the border who we don't even know who they are, and they're coming across with no penalties. You think we're going to take a former president and stick him in jail? Don't kid yourself, folks. This is nonsense. You know, if anything, this guy Comer should be going after Nancy Pelosi right now. Stop everything you're doing. Go after Pelosi. You get her in there and you get her to testify. Why didn't you tell us about this honestly 2.5 years ago? Why did you perpetuate this lie? Why did you go after the former president and blame it on him when you knew from the get-go that it was your obligation, your fault?
Well, she believes her lie now. I can tell you that. And, you know, as for locking up Joe, they're never going to lock up Joe. I'll talk about that later.
I got an interesting little, I know the audio you're talking about from the Juneteenth celebration at the White House yesterday where he's completely incoherent.
I was talking about other audio, but go ahead with that one.
I don't have that one, but I think I can get it during the show. But what I do have is something which I think you should listen to very carefully, folks. We played a clip of Joe Biden at D-Day when he was in Pointe du Hoc, and it was a short, bumbling, incoherent Joe Biden, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I guess, his words. But he went over and spoke the next day, and he did something which is typical Joe Biden. He plagiarized. You're saying, no, what? He plagiarized. What he did is he took Ronald Reagan's speech from, 40 years ago,
Mm-hmm.
And he
exactly.
made, yeah, and I want to play this for you. This is the comparison between the two. Ronald Reagan, then Joe Biden. Listen very carefully to the speech.
At last, the hour had come. Dawn, 6th of June, 1944.
At dawn, on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944,
225 American Rangers arrived by ship, jumped into the waves, and stormed the beach.
225 Rangers jumped off the British landing craft and ran to the bottom of these cliffs.
Gunfire rained above them, but still, they kept coming. Nazi grenades thrown from above exploded against the cliffs, but still, they kept coming.
The Rangers looked up and saw the enemy soldiers, the edge of the cliffs, shooting down at them with machine guns and throwing grenades. And the American Rangers began to climb.
They launched their ladders, their ropes, and grappling hooks, and they began to climb.
They shot rope ladders over the face of these cliffs and began to pull themselves up.
When the Nazis cut their ladders, the Rangers used the ropes. When the Nazis cut their ropes, the Rangers used their hands.
When one Ranger fell, another would take his place. When one rope was cut, a Ranger would grab another and begin his climb again.
And inch by inch, foot by foot, yard by yard, the Rangers clawed, literally clawed their way up this mighty precipice until at last they reached the top.
Soon, one by one, the Rangers pulled themselves over the top.
They breached Hitler's Atlantic Wall, and they turned in that one effort the tide of the war that began to save the world.
And in seizing the firm land at the top of these cliffs, they began to seize back the continent of Europe.
Unbelievable, folks. I mean, okay, Joe didn't write this speech. Somebody obviously wrote the speech for him, mm-hmm. but whoever that somebody was, either they were out to get Joe, they're going to make him look the fool, or they're just numbskulls because they literally took Ronald Reagan's speech, probably put it into an AI, and said, massage this and make it ours. He did a lousy job.
Yeah, that was just a brush over. But Biden has done this all throughout his career to where once Johnny Carson made fun of him. I think he took... who was a Churchill speech or something like that? He's used a lot of different speeches throughout his history.
Bill, let's play it.
To Senator Joseph Biden. Have you seen the problem he's been having? He went around and made a speech. And apparently, he quoted a British politician, took his speech and kind of paraphrased it as his own. And then the press got on him. And then he was charged also with taking part of Bobby Kennedy's speeches. And Biden says... not to worry. He reassured his staff. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yeah, we have Joe Biden's lying mouth to fear. You know, the funny thing is, though, you see him sometime and he's talking like he did the Normandy speech and mm-hmm. he was, you know, coherent. But later on, you also see him hunched over and it looks like he squats twice and you can read into that whatever you will. But I was thinking about that, you know, how sometimes... what are they jacking him up with? And what are they giving him too much of? Because he's out there on the stage. They're giving him Adderall drops under the tongue. I would guarantee it. I would say with 98% accuracy, that's what they're doing. Because if you take too much of that, mm-hmm. it can cause you to have diarrhea. It's a side effect of it. But what it does do when it's under the tongue, all of a sudden you have energy. You have alertness, acuity. So all of a sudden, he could maybe speak a little bit better and do things, whereas before, he can't figure out left from right. And so I'm going, they're jacking him up for certain moments for that speech. But the bad thing is, he's having a physical breakdown.
In the world that we live in, where everything is in a computer somewhere, where everything can be checked with a keystroke, you would think that they would have known that they could take that speech and do a side-by-side and probably grab Ronald Reagan's version of that speech, the original, and do a comparison and then put it together and do exactly what we did. You know, you would think, but they are so arrogant. They think that the audience and the American public is so damn stupid, they'll never pick up on this. They'll never realize that this is basically Ronald Reagan's speech. We're just going to massage it a bit and try to make it ours. But, you know, he took some words, some lines verbatim. Others he massaged it, but it was the same basic thing. You know, it is truly obscene how this administration is treating us as a people. Bill, they've completely destroyed our border, and then they say that they haven't destroyed our border. They've allowed all these drugs into our country. They don't make an issue out of that. I mean, if we were an honest, law-abiding country, we would arrest whoever is responsible for allowing this poison to kill so many of our young people. But we don't do a damn thing. At what point is the public going to get PO'd? Is it going to be the election? If it's the election, Trump is going to have to win by 80%.
Well, I think he will win by 80%. I mean, the numbers are up. They say that he's clinched Nevada, which is the must-win state that will throw the election. Minnesota is on the verge of going Trump. The numbers are out there, and I don't even think they're measuring all the numbers that are out there. But the bad thing is that the media controls what the people hear. So all they got to do is hide their count. So Joe can win by a landslide and actually only have two votes out there, just like he has when he does a public appearance. He's got two votes, two people there, but he had a crowd.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Well, if I sound a little irritated today, folks, it's because
you are.
I am. No, it's true. But I am because I look at the injustice. You know, we're supposed to be fair. You know, our whole society is supposed to be fair. We play our games that's supposed to be fair. Baseball has rules, football, basketball. We're supposed to be. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what you don't understand, we're witnessing a play, a live play that's being played out in the news. And every play, every story, every movie has got to have a hero and a villain. And since the people that have Joe Biden as the star writing the play, now you know who the hero is and you know who the villain is, whether the villain is really a villain.
Well,
you know, Trump.
I mean, we've been told that Trump, constantly the media has been vilifying Trump, and actually he's the guy who maybe is the white hat. I think he's the white hat. I know a lot of people who have, they don't like Trump because of his hair, or because he has an ego. I want a president with an ego. I want a president who thinks we're the best. And I want a president who thinks he can point to why he thinks we're the best. I don't want some guy who's a bumbling, stumbling fool, drooling all over the place, thinking about his family and how to make the next buck from us and his position.
Biden likes to sit there and, you know, he thinks and says he thinks he can fix everything and do everything, but he breaks everything and then claims that he made it better. Yeah. And it's all just, you know, and he paraphrases other famous people to, and I didn't know that he wrote speeches for Kennedy. I didn't know he wrote Reagan's speech. I didn't know he wrote speeches for Winston. You know, he's written all this stuff.
You know what he said last week, this past week? He said he's known Vladimir Putin for 40 years.
How old is Putin?
Putin's 72, which means that he knew Putin when Putin was 32? No. Putin was in the KGB back then. And he wasn't, and Joe Biden didn't know him 40 years ago. But see, so Joe Biden.
Well, if he did, that's a story that needs to be investigated. Then, if he knew Putin when he was in the KGB, Joe
is so used to lying. Joe is so used to lying at every turn. It's because people don't challenge him. You know, he throws a lie out, and people laugh or giggle, and life goes on. And he figures, well, that was effective. I'll do it again. The guy is the consummate liar. If it were sunny out, you'd have to question the guy because he doesn't speak truthfully. And yet he's the leader. He's the commander in chief. He's the guy we're supposed to be looking up to for guidance to help get us through a nuclear maze. And by the way, every day, folks, I keep hearing the words nuclear war thrown around casually. World War III. I hear it every day in the news. And I think it's scary. Go ahead, Bill.
You know, you turn on the computer and you see this stuff. Here's what it will be like if we go into World War III. This is what nuclear annihilation will look like. It's like they're trivializing it. And I'm like going, do you understand what you are saying, what you are showing, what the reality is of what is going on out there?
Yeah.
We've got American missiles, American jets, American hardware that is taking out targets inside of Russia. Ukraine does not have the manpower. Now, there's a caveat to the Ukraine story that Leslie Graham unveiled. Lindsey Graham unveiled because there had to be a reason. There had to be a bigger reason than us just helping out Zelensky. And it always gets down to money, doesn't it?
What did Trump do to get the weapon slowing? He created a loan system. They're sitting on $10 to $12 trillion of critical minerals in Ukraine. They could be the richest country in all of Europe. I don't want to give that money and those assets to Putin to share with China. If we help Ukraine now, they can become the best business partner we ever dreamed of. That $10 to $12 trillion of critical mineral assets could be used by Ukraine and the West, not given to Putin and China. This is a very big deal how Ukraine ends. Mm-hmm. Let's help them win a war we can't afford to lose. Let's find a solution to this war. But they're sitting on a gold mine to give Putin $10 or $12 trillion of critical minerals that he will share with China is ridiculous.
Now, that's the real reason why Lindsey Graham wants us to fight the war. It's economics. It's money.
Yeah. I think there's only four places that have the, if it's the critical minerals I'm thinking about, there's Australia, there's China. China has a big supply. Australia has a big, huge supply. And if the Ukraine is the other one besides the U.S., and we have it here too, it's not easy, but it's used in stealth planes and modern weaponry, and it is basically he who holds that is going to win the game.
Speaking of minerals, while I have this up front in my thought, I was reading an article where apparently we've discovered that in our fracking sites around the country, you know, all these fracking sites in Pennsylvania and other states that everybody has tried to close down, they've come to realize that a byproduct of those sites are lithium deposits. Deposits. We are now rich, apparently, in lithium that we didn't know that we had.
Right. Well, a lot of that was down in Nevada, Arizona.
Well, because you're talking about the original lithium. I'm talking about PA, in Pennsylvania, in the fracking sites in PA. This is, check it, go on. They just came out with this this week, that they've come to find out that a byproduct of the fracking sites that they have in places like Pennsylvania are lithium deposits.
Mm-hmm.
And, this country is a very rich country we're living in.
Up in New Hampshire, they have lithium in the hills there.
Yeah. Well, we don't know what we're sitting on every day in this country because what a lot of people who live in urban sites don't realize is much of our country is still wilderness, still to this day. All you have to do is get in an airplane and fly to the West Coast and just take a good look down below you at how much greenery and how much mountainous regions and things like that. That's all explored, undiscovered land. And yet we think for some reason that it's all civilized now. Now it's there's a lot of this country we haven't explored yet. And we do already know that we are probably the richest oil country in the world. Yet this administration closed down our oil operations when they got into office the first week.
Well, if you look at the land that we've sold, it's around all of our nuclear installations or critical mineral areas. I mean, we have uranium here.
Yeah.
All right. Plutonium. We have oil. We have the critical minerals. We have, like you said,
lithium.
Lithium. Yeah, I was going to say sand, which is what it is. But either way, we have all of these things and more. If you go and look down at New Mexico and pull up a map, you know, you're going to see all the mines there where lithium is one of them. And some of these mines are just now getting operational. And if that's the future, you know, probably not a bad investment to invest in some of those places, because if that's going to be the money.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of these, if you go into the Southwest, you'll see a lot of abandoned silver mines, things like that. Think mines that were operational 100 years ago. And a lot of companies are realizing with the techniques that they have now and the equipment they have now,
there's still a
massive amount of silver, gold, and copper that they haven't gotten from these areas yet. They only tapped a certain amount, the amount that they could reach 120 years ago, and then they closed the mines down because they figured, well, we can't go any further down, you know, for whatever reason, maybe because the oxygen wasn't right and they couldn't get down. Maybe they had gas problems. You know, you get down with, you know, you've heard about the parakeet in the mine. They used to bring a parakeet down into the mine, and that was the signal if there was poison in the air, because if the parakeet died in the cage, get out, because, you know, there's
poison. You're from Pennsylvania, and I've lived in Pennsylvania for a while. They used to do stripping. They'd strip the topsoil for coal, because you can do that and get it out of there and then put the soil back down. You can reseed it and do whatever. You can do that, like where you dug for gold, copper, stuff like that. Do you not think that in the soil that surrounds it for miles is remnants of it all there that when sifted and filtered can be tons and tons of that metal? We have technology now where we can go and get it, extract it, put the ground back together, and we're fine.
You know, Bill, what they didn't have 120 years ago, for example, is they can now drill sideways. You know, they used to go from the top to the bottom, keep drilling up, you know, up to down. Now they can drill sideways. You know, it is amazing the technology that has been created over the years. I mean, look at what they do, for example. I don't know whether people realize this. A lot of people don't. But, you know, when you see a new tunnel opening up, if you went, for example, to Pittsburgh 150 years ago, 130 years ago, whatever, and saw them building one of the tunnels, they were picking jackhammer, and it was dynamite, and they used shovels to pull the broken rock out of the tunnels. It was laborious, hard work. Now they've got machines. I don't know whether you've seen this or not. They've got machines that are maybe, I don't know, I mean, I can't even, they're the size of a two-story building, and they rotate. So you go underground, you set up an entrance area, this is where we're going to go in, and then this machine, essentially a massive drill bit, starts to drill through the soil, breaking up anything in front of it, including rocks, whatever, you know. It literally drills the tunnel. It can go under, in Pittsburgh, they have a tunnel that goes under one of the rivers. Pittsburgh, for example, if you didn't know, if you're not from this area, Pittsburgh is famous for three rivers, the Allegheny, Monongahela, and the Ohio. They meet together at what they call the Point area of Pittsburgh, and that's the confluence where all three rivers meet. Underneath the Allegheny River, about 300 yards up the river from the confluence, they put in a tunnel from one side of from Pittsburgh proper, downtown, to the North Shore. They went under the Allegheny River. They used one of those machines. It would have taken years to make a tunnel the old-fashioned way. They probably had the thing drilled out in 8 months, 10 months. I mean, this thing was massive. It rotated like a drill bit, and it just dug the tunnel.
I've seen the machine. It's amazing.
That's the technology we're using nowadays for all these different things. Everything has gone through improvement over the past 150 years. I could go on and on. I just looked at the clock. This show is flying. Did you hear about Judge Cannon, Bill?
Well, I saw a couple of things. I didn't go that much. I know she threw out something, but then she...
What she did was she denied... They asked for, and it's just like a procedural thing, they asked that Smith's entire effort be just thrown out, you know, this prosecutor. They wanted the whole thing to be dismissed, but she said no, but she dismissed part of it. She went through and she took out like a couple of paragraphs of what this guy put into his complaint. And they're still going to have another meeting, I guess in a few weeks. I'm not sure exactly the date. A hearing. It's the 21st of June. And I mean, that may be a very significant date because she may just dismiss everything then. She's going to be looking at whether this guy Smith is just wasting everybody's time, which I think he is. Yeah. But that's his job.
Democrats are worried about her now. They're saying that, well, they can't do anything. They're prepared to ask to get her thrown off the case, which I guess you can if they have an operative on their side that's above her that can throw her off. Mm-hmm. But they can't do anything until she decides to, you know, proceed with, you know, until she proceeds, you know, what she's doing right now. Yeah, she's dragging the timeline, but I think she's taking her time to sift through everything going, let's take this and throw it out.
You know,
let's do this.
I'm sick and tired of hearing, the media say, Cannon, a Trump nominee, a Trump, you know, judge. You know, you don't hear that.
Mershon, Obama judge.
You don't hear that, Bill. You don't hear them throwing that out. Mershon, a judge put into place by Obama or whatever, Clinton. They don't do that. They just make it like he's a pristine judge, but Cannon is a Trump inserted judge, you know.
You hear the left talking about, well, justice was served, and, you know, and the left media, and there are attorneys out there that say, yeah, the left was served. And I'm going, you know, justice, we talk about Lady Justice being blind. Mm. Justice is blind, and it's blind to the side, you know, in favor of the side that is holding the cards. It is not about what's right for you and me, because if true justice prevails, if you go back to the original statement, you have to be proven guilty beyond reasonable doubt. And there's a lot of evidence, hearsay stuff, can't really be in there. We have taken so many advantages and bastardized what the legal system was really meant to be. I mean, it's always been, since we've bastardized it, it's been political warfare.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair.
You see where Elon Musk... He's been in the news. He likes to go on Joe Rogan's show, and he was on recently, and he said that the right wing agenda that we hear thrown around all the time, the word the right wing agenda. He says the right wing agenda today is just the centrist agenda of 20 years ago.
Yeah,
think about that for a second. The right wing agenda of today is the centrist agenda of 20 years ago. So what they've done, the left has tried, they've taken what was considered to be normal 20 years ago, and they have radicalized it. You know, I mean, he also had a bunch of other things to say about, he mentions George Soros. Listen to this.
I mean, Soros actually, you know, he is, I believe, the top contributor to the Democratic Party. The second one was Sam Bankman-Fried. So, and Soros, I don't know. I mean, he had a very difficult upbringing. In my opinion, he fundamentally hates humanity. That's my opinion.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, well, he's doing things that erode the fabric of civilization. You know, getting DAs elected who refuse to prosecute crime. That's part of the problem in San Francisco. And LA and much other cities. So why would you do that?
Was it humanity, or is it just the United States as a whole?
I mean, he's pushing things to other countries, too.
He's doing the same thing?
Yeah. Now, George at this point is pretty old. I mean, he's not, you know, he's basically a bit senile at this point. But, I mean, he's very smart. And he's very good at arbitrage. You know, famously, he shorted the British pound. That's sort of how I think he made his first money, was shorting the pound. So he's good at spotting, basically arbitrage, like spotting value for money that other people don't see. So one of the things he noticed was that that the value for money in local races is much higher than it is in national races. So the lowest value for money is a presidential race. Then next lowest value for money is a Senate race, then a Congress, and then. But once you get to sort of city and state district attorneys, the value for money is extremely good. And Soros realized that you don't actually need to change the laws. You just need to change how they're enforced. If nobody chooses to enforce the law, or the laws are differentially enforced, it's like changing the laws.
Say what you want. Say what you want. The guy is a smart guy. I think the guy is a real smart young guy.
Mm-hmm. And he gives credit where credit is due. Soros is bitter about life, but he's smart. And that's what I was trying to say, but he articulated it, is that Soros is going to the smaller courts where he can take a large amount of money and totally buy, dominate, and influence. And those people that sit there and render the law, they render it to whatever interpretation you want to. It's not what the law was meant to be,
yeah,
but they can shape it. And
what amazes me is how he says he knows where you get the best value for the dollar, for your money.
That's said, Nazism, by the way.
Yeah, if you're up, well, who did he work with back in the...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're calling us Nazis, but that's what you're doing.
When you're up, when you're putting money into presidential races, you don't get as much value for your dollar. But if you're buying DAs and attorney generals and, you know, mayors and things like that, county prosecutors, you can get some... You get a good value for your dollar. Although, when he says that, I'm thinking, what does he get in return? Is it the laws warped? Is that what he's doing? He's getting them... he's getting more control of society? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly, is what he's getting. So who wields the power? The presidency or Soros with... he owns all everything around the base.
Yeah. Well... what amazes me about the guy, too, he did say he thinks Soros is becoming senile. I don't know. And, boy, I'll tell you, if you think that the world's going to get better when Sir George is gone, his son, is it Alex? His son is, they say, as bad, if not worse, and he's in his 30s. So,
yeah, well, I mean, what is senile? Is senility Joe Biden that is incontinent and can't mumble a word? Or is it somebody that's obsessed with power and control? Which one is?
I mean, I think
I don't think Soros
to be obsessed,
is senile yet.
To be obsessed with power and control, you have to have a bit of a clear mind. I think that when you're senile, you don't have clarity, and you don't even know where you are. Just look at Joe when he was walking around Normandy. He stepped out of his car, and the guy looked like it was a big surprise to him. Like, "Ooh, what the heck is this?" He didn't know where he was. And by the way, this may go to the drugs you were talking about. They may have him so jacked up on drugs that he's living in, you know, magical land. And it's like, oh, you know, I mean, the whole world may be a huge surprise because they got him drugged up. And boy, I blame his wife. I for his wife to allow that to happen to him, so she can be seated at the side of power. That's disgusting.
Power is an evil thing, and it consumes people. And she has been consumed with it. If Joe Biden died tomorrow, yeah, she'd be the grieving widow. But you know, I don't know that she would fade from public life.
For those of you who have forgotten, for those of you who have been caught up with other things over the last hour, I want to play this for you one more time.
They say they got stuff, but they can't tell us what it is. It's too prepared. They want the other side to know. We have responsibility, Terry. We did not have any accountability for what was going on there, and we should have. This is ridiculous. You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard? Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?
They thought that they had sufficient resources.
There's not a question of how they had been. They don't know. They clearly didn't know, and I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more, because it's stupid that we should be in a situation like this.
What did she say at the end?
I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more.
But she doesn't.
No. She doesn't. You know what?
What?
She was confused as to what was going on and the size of the amount of people there. And she forgets one thing in that conversation.
What's that?
She takes responsibility, but I didn't know. Mm-hmm. You had a suggestion from Trump, a recommendation, an offer, and a call
right
about the 20,000 National Guard there. So the fact that here she is going, well, I didn't know, I take responsibility. Did you not pay attention? Did you blow them off? Did you have another plan? And all of a sudden, it blew up in your face. So now you've got to sit there and make up a story. Well, it's Trump's fault.
You know, another interesting little side story we should mention before we... Members of Congress have requested that Tren de Aricua, whatever that is, a violent Venezuelan gang now operating across the United States and throughout Latin America, be designated as a, quote, transnational criminal organization. Well, there you go. That's going to make a world of a difference. We're going to designate them a transnational criminal organization. Why not designate them terrorists, you know?
Well, that's a thought.
I'm just saying, you know. But this is an organization, a violent Venezuelan gang, which is now in this country, and I would submit here because of our open borders and Joe Biden's lack of performance. But that's just me. Anyway, my friend, anything? Yes, true. You have anything you want to add?
Well, there's a lot more we could talk about, but we're already at our limit, I think, and you've got somewhere to be.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if you want to contact us, all you have to do is go to our website, which is www.itsanotherday.com, www.itsanotherday.com, or www.jimandbill.com, and you'll be able to contact us on those websites. Plus, we have all of our episodes, 640-something, 43, 44?
This will be 644, yeah.
Well, 644 episodes of the show.
Plus the unnumbered ones.
That's true. We've got about 750 shows there. So there you go. You could be there listening to our voices for, months. It'll be great.
Yeah. To every show and then report back to us.
And take notes, yes.
Exactly. Take notes, too. Yeah. You notice Jim is a professional. See, this is why he gets to say the web pages, because he doesn't say www. He says www.
My years of working as a radio pronouncer.
Yeah.
I'm being a radio pronouncer.
You don't know? Say that.
Yes.
You forgot one thing, though.
What's that?
WWW, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.